right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Text message, headed to Vegas tonight, guys. Got to get my bets in. After years, I'm going to start signing my texts to you guys. LOL. That's from Max. Here's the thing about that, Max, and the rest of you texting. We joked about this yesterday because we played audio from Arch Manning, who said that his grandfather, Archie Manning, signs all his texts to his grandkids. When you're signing texts to people that you know or family members, that's an old person thing. It's actually helpful for us to acknowledge you if you sign the text to our show. We like that.
Right.
Part. Yeah.
Yeah, that really helps a lot. We used to have a text system where you could identify, you could label somebody's name, and it was very, very helpful.
It was.
Now it's not so dear, especially because there's sometimes like, there's one guy in the text line who just hates me. And there's nothing I can say or do that isn't the dumbest thing that he's ever seen. And so I know his number by now, and I can kind of just disregard it. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot easier in the early stages if I could be like, okay, Chuck from Pearland is a guy that just hates me or whatever. I don't like blocking people off the text line because then the other shows that might be able to use the Chuck from Pearland or whomever he is that hates me. For my own mental health, I really, really wish that someday they'll listen to my recommendation that we get a text system where we can identify names.
But until then,
if you hate me, sign your name afterwards.
Sign your name.
Love me, likewise.
Yeah. Either way, it is very helpful on this system. Kidding aside, to sign your name on it. Here was C.J. Gardner-Johnson, new Texan safety. He was a guest on the Pivot podcast this week. And this was C.J. Gardner-Johnson talking about his new quarterback, C.J. Stroud.
Competitor. A dog, and willing to lead. I play a lot of, Drew was one of those quarterbacks willing to lead us. And getting shipped to Philly was kind of a blessing. Because, being in New Orleans, the situation was hard. So we're looking for a leader. It's easy when you gravitate around a leader like Jalen. So when coming to another team, it's like, you don't got to say much. You just sit back and just encourage them. That's the only thing you can do with those type of quarterbacks because you can't put too much on their plate. They got a lot going on. So if I can just be that teammate like, bro, you him.
That's pretty high praise, man. I mean, he's played with Drew Brees, Jalen Hurts, and Jared Goff. Those have been the quarterbacks on the teams he's played on. So he's putting CJ in that company right there from a leadership standpoint.
What did he say? Getting what to Philly?
Oh, I don't. I'm not sure.
I thought he said, I guess he meant championship or something, but he said getting shipped to Philly. Reed Blankenship? I don't know if he was talking about
that. Maybe getting shipped to Philly.
Getting shipped to Philly.
Yeah,
okay,
that's how I
got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I have to listen to C.J. Gardner-Johnson clips a couple times sometimes.
He's a good storyteller, but he's all over the place. He's very choppy.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, sometimes he'll go somewhere, he'll pivot and veer off somewhere, so sometimes I'm not quite sure what the hell he's talking about. I think that part of it, his early impressions of the Texans have been cool because C.J. Gardner-Johnson, if you watch that entire interview, it's an hour long and it doesn't feel like an hour because it's very good, it's really interesting to kind of hear about how he's grown as a player and how he's processed things in terms of understanding how much he can be fully himself or when he needs to dial it back at times, but then also the way teams need to operate in championship environments especially, and that it is a notch above. I think he might be one of the unexpected guys that a lot of people maybe who knew him when he was a younger guy don't realize that, wow, he's learned a lot and really understands the team dynamic of a lot of things. So the way he's talked about CJ in that, we played the clip yesterday where he's talking about Kalen Bullock and Jalen Petrie and Azeez Alshire. I take that at 100%. It's a valid opinion that he has of them from whatever his limited impression is right now.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the New Orleans teams he was on, but he's not been on bad teams. He was in New Orleans at the end of the Drew Brees era. He's in Philly for a year when they go to a Super Bowl. He's in Detroit for a year when they probably should have gone to a Super Bowl if Dan Campbell had made some different decisions and they had a real kicker in the NFC Championship game. And then he won a Super Bowl last year. And I'm not saying C.J. Gardner-Johnson's the reason these teams, but he's seen what good looks like. There's a lot, he's banked a lot of I think there is something to bringing in these guys who have played on these championship level teams.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and he's seen different quarterbacks operate, and they're all different. They all lead in different ways, but there's a certain cachet you hope your guy has. I think, and, you know, Clint, they played that promo of Clint talking about how the leadership has to come from CJ for about a week this past week, so I know most people have heard it. And I agree with Clint, and I think CJ is wired that way, but it is also... There's only so much you can do when you're a young quarterback that you have to grow into whatever the eventual version of yourself is.
Yeah.
And last year was a tough year to do it, where I think a lot of things were off kilter. So I just don't have any concerns about it.
No.
I don't think that young Eli Manning. Eli Manning will talk about it himself. I've talked to people who worked with the Giants who helped Eli work on leadership. They brought in a company called Afterburner 1 year, which is specifically a lot of they kind of use military mission planning tactics to teach leadership.
Yeah.
And it was really big for Eli Manning because they put him in a position where he was leading meetings. He was the one, you know, correcting things and everything. In football, they loved that. It's the worst, man, because they love to pretend they're in the military, and then they ask guys to be leaders and everything, but most teams do a horrible job of actually defining or teaching leadership.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, be a leader.
Yeah.
And guys are just kind of 23-year-old guys are kind of left to be like, okay, I guess I'm going to be the movie version of a leader,
yeah,
or I'm going to be whatever my high school football coach was. So when they did it with Eli Manning, and they did it for the Giants in total, I talked to Coughlin about this too, that it's kind of a systemic approach to the way the military uses to teach officers how to be leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you do is, give them opportunities to actually lead.
Right.
It's not about, you know, hey, go be a leader, but I'm running the meetings and I'm the one doing the film and I'm doing all that. And I go, let the guy actually lead some things.
Dude.
Let Eli be a junior lieutenant for a while at the very least.
Especially Eli. Like kicking him into the deep end of the leadership pool.
Yeah,
feels like a disaster.
Oh no, that company, I don't think they're around anymore. But they'd worked with a few pro sports teams, and I loved it. I had a friend who worked with Afterburner, and I went and did their training and everything.
It's cool.
And I ended up applying it. Brandy and I kind of used it to change the way she watched film with her players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of cool stuff. I could do a whole podcast on it.
Yeah.
But a lot of it allows people to be leaders partly by kind of you take the names out of it, where like when you're breaking down a play, you don't say, hey, Jim, you got to make this play. You're right. Like, OK, so the left guard on this play really needs to, we need to be sure the left guard does this or that. So it tries to take sensitivity out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really cool because a lot of old crusty football coaches will be like, yeah, you're too sensitive. Where meanwhile, the Navy SEALs and fighter pilots are recognizing like, okay, yeah, you know what? Human beings have a tendency to get sensitive. We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
We got an important mission here. So we'll take the opportunity for sensitivity out of it. And we're going to take rank out of it. So you can criticize what your leader should have done, you know, in very specific scenarios.
That's cool.
You can't walk up to him in the dining, in the chow hall and be like, hey, bum. Yeah. So it's cool.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
And that helped Eli be a better leader.
Yep. Won 2 Super Bowls. So the numbers are out on CJ Stroud and all the quarterbacks in the NFL. Vegas has put the numbers out. If you believe in Nick Caley as an offensive coordinator, I think you can cash in big on CJ Stroud this year. His numbers on his prop bets for futures are very, very much reflective of the season he had last year than the season he had in his rookie year. The passing yards number is 3,800 and a half. So
he was at 3,727 last year.
And he was at 4,100 and change his rookie year. And that was missing 2 games with concussions, with a concussion. So that's number one. Number two, the touchdown passes, 21 and a half. He had 20 last year, 23 his rookie year. The big one for me is interceptions. You know, if you believe in Nick Caley, I don't think CJ Stroud's a double-digit interception guy. I think he's closer to the 5 interceptions his rookie year than the 12. The 12 that he threw last year, and it felt like more than 12 just because he was so careful with the football his rookie year.
Yeah.
But to me, it just boils down to two simple things. One, He's got to be healthy, obviously. If you're going over on these numbers, he's got to stay healthy. That's number one. I feel confident he's a guy, CJ, that doesn't put himself in harm's way. Number two, if you feel like Nick Caley can get rookie CJ back, then I think the numbers are going to fall in line with that.
I think with young quarterbacks, I always flash back to adjusting the V hold on your television. Remember adjusting the vertical hold?
Yeah, flip and flip and flip.
You turn it to the right a little bit, dude. And it doesn't. You turn it to the left, and I'm like, I'm not sure. You say you turn a little bit more, and all, I don't know. So you're trying to find the right V hold.
Oh my God.
On the UHF stations, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Last year, it felt like they were on one of the UHF stations where CJ's trying to figure out his appetite for risk. And okay, when can you push the envelope? When can you not? Maybe my rookie year, I was a little too conservative at times. Last year, the offense is struggling. Maybe I need to be a little bit more aggressive in instances. So it takes some time to get the V hold right.
Yeah.
On that. And you got to be constantly managing it. Weather conditions can change things.
Dude, what's the oldest person listening right now that even knows what the V hold is, do you think?
I'm guessing 45? Anybody under the age of 34 thinks
no
I'm
clue.
Making some kind of dirty joke.
Yeah, the V-hold.
Is he talking about the soccer?
I gotta go to Urban Dictionary and see what this V-hold is.
Yeah, so kids, there used to be on the old cathode ray televisions, you had to kind of adjust whether... I don't even know what it was. I know I did it for like 20 years of my life, but I don't know exactly what I was adjusting.
Oh, dude.
It kept the lines from showing up.
Yeah, you needed like some surgeon-like precision on certain TVs just to get it just right so the picture would stay on the screen.
It was to watch Welcome Back, Kotter, you basically had to turn into some kind of radio operator from the Korean War.
Oh.
You're just sitting in there. You're dialed in. You're trying to get the static out of it. Yeah.
Should I take the over on all? Should I take over yards, over touchdown passes, under interception set?
I think you should take the over. You know, I was just kind of is a guidepost because the Texans are going to probably really focus on running the football this year.
No doubt. That's why. That's why I'm a little nervous on that one.
So if you look at Justin Herbert, where last year they were very run heavy. A lot of times the offense almost seemed like it was managing Justin Herbert, and people were making impassioned pleas for, hey, you got to put more respect on Justin Herbert's name because they're running the ball so much. He had 3,870 yards last year, 23 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So if that, and I think CJ in this offense will be more aggressive.
I agree.
Nick Caley will probably be a little bit more aggressive downfield. They're going to want to set up use the play action a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the ability to set up those deep shots with Nico, obviously. So I think I would feel very comfortable taking the over as long as CJ stays healthy.
Yeah, it's a bet on Caley. It's a bet on Cole Popovich to a degree as well, right? Like the offensive line doesn't improve. And CJ gets hit, and that's where the injury factor could come in. Okay, good. Now, Nico's number I saw yesterday, and this is if you're betting Nico Collins receiving yards, 1,150, if he's healthy, he's going to sail past that. You're basically betting on Nico Collins' health if you're betting on 1,150 receiving yards with Nico. I mean, for some context, when he got hurt last year in week 5, he was on pace for almost 2,000. He was on like a 1,900 yard pace when he got hurt last year. Slowed down, obviously, but he still got 1,000 yards, even with a slower second half of the season. He still got over 1,000 yards while missing 5.5 games last year. Well, really almost 6, because they took him out of that week 18 game as well once he went over 1,000 yards. So that's another one. A little more betting advice for you. Hey, the second round logjam might be over. The Nick Caserio caused second round logjam from guaranteeing Jaden Higgins.
For those of you who don't know, the Texans guaranteed Jaden Higgins' contract. The Browns guaranteed their number one pick in the second round.
Yeah.
They guaranteed his contract. First time in history that they've been guaranteed, and then no second round picks had signed after that.
Until now. Alfred Collins, the second round pick, I believe of the 49ers, San Francisco reached a contract agreement with defensive tackle Alfred Collins on Wednesday night. He's the 43rd overall pick, so he's 9 picks after Jaden Higgins. They guaranteed I'm doing the numbers in my head, Seth. He signs a 4-year, $10.3 million deal, $9 million guaranteed. So they guarantee about 80. It looks like high 80s, like 88% of it.
Texans Cap did a good article about where the trends and how much of the money's been guaranteed. And he showed that it really wasn't that much of a leap to give in guaranteed money to give Jaden Higgins that. And I agree with him there. He's like, it was kind of headed this way. This is a little bit of a jump above where the graph would show you. But there is also still that psychological part of it that it would, whatever the line on the graph looks like, I think there are probably a lot of GMs that are just flat out like, man, once we do that, then there's no going back. And at some point, the slippery slope takes hold. So it's somewhere in between with those. I think but given that one more guy and a little bit lower down the board at 43, that gives hopefully a good chance at Ariante Ursary, who's at 48, yeah, and everybody else after 43 just kind of slots in now.
As you just said, it's been creeping that way every year. The 34th overall pick last year, whoever it was, got 92% of their contract guaranteed, and it's been creeping up by like 2 or 3% every year.
Yeah,
Nick just said screw it and gave the rest of the 8% to Jaden Higgins. So that's probably, if I had to guess, the Alfred Collins signing at 43 overall is, you know, he's at like 88% guaranteed. Maybe last year's guy was at like 81% or something like that.
This is one of those things, everybody, we're probably going to have Nick on during the second week of training camp before practice. It's one of those ones where I want to ask him about it, but I just don't know. I don't want to waste a question because this gets into such specifics that I don't think he'd really divulge much, but there's a part of me, I was talking to Texans Cap about this, that it just feels like Nick, it kind of does the time management of like, listen, haggling over a couple extra percentage points of guaranteed money versus just getting this out of the way, yeah, so we can focus on other things. It feels like Nick does just say, look, this is dumb. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to do it this way.
And if that's the answer, we got to ask the question, because this has been a big story around the league the last few days. I know,
okay,
I know,
so we've been
in a dead headlines period right now, but this has been a big story around the league the last few days.
We'll do it this way. I think he likes it when I give him a chance to make me look like a moron, and I'll say, look, this is my theory, Nick, and then he can either say, we'll only give him one choice, either Seth, you're an idiot, or Seth, you're brilliant.
So he's
likely to go, Seth, you're an idiot, but he's gonna want to explain why I'm an idiot.
Sure, yeah, he's gonna want to be courteous about calling you an idiot. Now everybody's signing their names on the text. This is a good thing.
Thank you, there's
two things going on. People telling us on the text page that they don't hate you because of that one guy.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I wasn't fishing for compliments, I promise.
No, but they're coming in. And then a lot of people just signed, good morning, guys. Signed Bobby from Katie, non-hater of Seth. So he had both of them. All right.
Don't worry. I'm not crying at night over it. It's one of the best things about this job I've learned is that you learn that some people are going to hate you no matter what.
That's what it is.
And you just got to live with it. Just go with it.
That's it. Headlines. Sad news in the world, I guess Texans world. That we will get to in headlines, and also big news, big shakeups in the broadcasting world that will affect your college football viewing this coming season. That is coming up next.